when he was talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was trying to figure out what new birth was all about. Do you remember what he compared the Spirit of God to? Remember he said the wind? It's like the wind. You don't know where it's coming from or where it's going. You hear the sound thereof, and the word sound in Greek is phoné, which we get the word phone from, telephone and phonetic and so forth. And it literally means you hear the voice of it. You hear the language. And the word teaches you speak in other tongues when the baptism of the Spirit fills you. So he was already kind of letting them know what might happen. And he even said before he left the earth, these signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall cast out devils. You ever cast a devil out? You can. That's a sign to follow you. You ever lay hands on the sick and see them healed? And all of these things are signs that God is working by His Spirit. And so the Spirit of God is so important in our lives. And I'm going to show you a way of these two verses as we begin the message today. And again, like I said, I want to talk about, and we really want to get this into all of our hearts, that there is a force called sin that's in our flesh. And what the world is really capitalizing on now is letting sin just have its way more and more. And said this also last week, that you know we have to maintain everything. We maintain our vehicles. How many ever heard of entropy? Second law of thermodynamics, entropy. Entropy is a law that says if you leave something alone, isolated, never use it, whatever its purpose is, you never fulfill its purpose, it deteriorates and it's destroyed. And for example, a car is made to be driven and used. Let that car sit there and never touch it. See what happens to it after a year. A sandwich is made to be eaten. Make a sandwich, sit it there, and leave that for a year. See what happens to it. Leave it for a week. And even people, let people be isolated and never around others. See what happens to them. And by the same token, our humanity, if we just let it go and never maintain it, never keep it, and work it, it's going to go bad. You have a garden, you plant seeds. I did this once years ago in Fredericton, New Brunswick. A guy I knew, he said, you can rent a little lot for a garden for $5, Mike, for the whole summer. You want to do it? I said, yeah, I'll do that. Get some crops. And problem is, I didn't want to go out there and weed the thing and work it. So guess what my garden looked like after the summer was over and compared with what his looked like? I think I found a shriveled up little something about this big, and I think it was supposed to be like this, and his garden was just like that. And that's exactly like our lives. And this is what the world, I mean, they know enough to maintain everything but themselves. And look at what's happening to their lives now. And I told one person that was involved in, for example, the gay lifestyle, I said, back when in the 70s when I was growing up, that would never have been tolerated. It was considered immoral and ungodly. And they said, well, it's not now. And I said, yeah, but look how much of a shock that is to me. And I'm promising you, whatever shocks you in the next generation, you're going to see that aloud too. I said, you're on a slippery slope. And how many can see that happening? So, and the whole reason, and I've been concerned about this for months and months, probably a few years. And it's just like the Lord was just speaking to me so much that we've got to talk about it. And so what we're going to show you in the Word of God is what our God, how many know our God is real? And our God has words for us to understand. And our God is being accused of creating people in a certain way that the Bible calls, His own Word calls, immoral and ungodly, abominable. Our God is being accused of creating people like that. Well, I'm going to show you that our God did not create us like that, and I'm going to show you what actually happened for that to result. How many know between the time God made Adam and Eve and between now, something called sin came into the world? So let's look at it in Romans chapter 6, verse 12. And I want you to compare the reference to the mortal body in both of these verses and what is influencing the mortal body. In 6 and 12, he said, let not sin, everybody say sin, therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. So right here, right off the bat, in this message, we see that we're not supposed to just let something have its course in us. We've got to hinder it. We've got to stop it. Of course, the world doesn't teach that. It just says, let it out. What's in you, let it out. No, that's sin, and you don't let that out. But look, on the other hand, Romans 8, verse 11. But if the Spirit, say the Spirit. If the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, and who's him that raised up Jesus from the dead? God, of course. If God's Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies. So when you compare, let not sin reign in your mortal body with let the Spirit quicken your mortal body, you see what not to do and you see what you're supposed to do. We need to learn what that means. And Peter, and this is why we have pastors, evangelists, prophets, teachers, and apostles, because Peter made the statement, some of these things Paul wrote, how many know Paul wrote Romans, are hard to be understood. He said, our beloved Paul wrote some things hard to be understood. And that's why we got so many splintered denominations. People misread it and all of this. So we need to ask the Spirit of God to direct us this morning. Amen? And let's, how many are going to let God lead you as we study here today? Praise God. Peter, lead us in prayer right now and ask God to have his word spoken to our hearts. Thank you, Lord.
Just as it was for the day that you gave to people to write down.
Yes.
The Father set us free to receive your truth, Lord. The word of the living God this morning. Quiet our hearts and lives and let it change our minds in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Peter also talked about you have to be willing to give an answer to any man that asks you of this hope. So we're in a world right now where people are thinking perversion is normal. They're acceptable. And we are obviously going to be approached and say, well, why don't you agree? And we need to know what the answer is. And so that's why we're doing this as well. So I want to teach you and Paul in the lion's den. Who was in the lion's den? Daniel, wasn't he? Why am I talking about Paul and me and us and you? Well, you'll find out here, because what happened with Daniel, Paul kind of talked about spiritually. And this will bless your soul. So let's read Daniel chapter 6. I'm going to quickly read the whole chapter. It's very important that you know the setting of this. And I won't belabor it too long, but I do have to read it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. So notice this, there's three presidents, Daniel's number one president. That the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel. Everybody say occasion. That means they looked for an opportunity to bring him down. They looked for a chance against him. But they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault in him. Then these men said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Now, I want you to pay particular attention to that. They said, we got to find something in the law of God that'll ruin him, because he loves the law of God. He is going to serve the law of God. How many know that's why he had no error or fault in him? Because he was loving the law of God. Then said these men, I just read that. So, verse 6. Then these presidents and princes assembled them together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. Everybody say, another law. Another law. Now get the picture. Daniel was serving the law of God. They wanted another law to be put in place. Somebody say, two laws. And it says, make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing, that it be not changed. Now, who was Darius? What kingdom was he of? What world power was it? Does anybody remember? Persia, Medo-Persia. Does anybody know another situation in the kingdom of Persia where a decree couldn't be reversed? There's another one. Esther. There's a law too, and the king said, I can't reverse it. That was the way the Persians were. Once something was in law, you couldn't change it. Would to God that was like that in Canada. Bless God, they redefined the whole word marriage in our country. And so anyway, they can't reverse it. And so, verse 9, wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree. So now here's an irreversible law in place. And when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. I ain't changing for nobody, Daniel said. I don't care if it's a law. How many know God's people need to be like that? No matter what happens in our country, no matter what happens in our laws, we cannot change. What's it better, to obey God or obey man? And so, then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. They had him. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself. He realized these guys tricked him because he loved Daniel and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. Everybody say deliver. Now deliverance here is going to be the key word. And I'm going to really focus on that. The king wanted to deliver him, and he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He wasn't able to do it, though. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute of the king may be changed once it's established. And to make a long story short, let me just read a couple more words. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said unto Daniel, look at this carefully. This is the key. He tried to do it, but he couldn't. But he said, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And watch this. See if this reminds you of anything. A stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. And you know the rest of the story. The king came early in the morning, wanted to see into the den of lions if he was still alive. And he said to Daniel in verse 20, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? And then the king was glad to hear that Daniel said, O king, live forever. Somebody say he's talking. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. And the king was exceedingly glad, commanded that they should take Daniel out of the den, and when they took him out, they couldn't have any hurt upon him because he believed in his God. Everybody say, because he believed. Praise God. He didn't back down. And notice that the men that threw him in, the princes were killed, and that the Bible says in verse 25, Darius wrote to all the people and nations. And verse 26, he makes a decree. And somebody say, the decree can't be reversed. He makes a decree. Every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, because he's the living God and steadfast forever. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. He what? What's verse 27 say he does? He delivereth. Somebody say it. He delivereth and rescueth. He works signs and wonders in heaven and earth. He delivered, say delivered, Daniel from the power of the lions. And so this Daniel, remember those presidents? It's like they called him a thing. That Daniel. Well, this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius, in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Hallelujah. So watch this. They wanted to somehow make something to do with Daniel serving the law of God illegal. And there it is in verse 4. They couldn't find an occasion except they find it against him concerning the law. Now, when you go to Romans in the New Testament, chapter 7, Paul says something very similar. Now, when we read this in Romans, I want you to understand Paul had victory. How many know Paul had victory? He had victory. A lot of people misunderstand Romans 7, and they think, well, Paul said, the good that I would, I can't do. Who will deliver me? Well, Paul knew the answer, because if you keep reading chapter 8, he tells you he'll deliver him. So people need to just not stop reading chapter 7. They need to keep reading. Somebody say, keep on reading. Keep reading into chapter 8. But Paul put himself in people's shoes who don't know how to see the power of the Holy Spirit work and give you victory. When we were singing that chorus this morning, breathe in me and I will rise with eagle's wings. Live in me all my life, take over. This, what we sang this morning, is what the Apostle Paul called walking after the Spirit. Now, what he referred to as walking after the flesh is trying to serve God with fleshly willpower. How many have ever heard of where there's a will, there's a way? Everybody say, where there's a will, there's a way. False doctrine. I'll show you where Paul said, I had the will, but I didn't know how to perform what I wanted to perform. I couldn't do what I willed to do. So these presidents and princes who hated Daniel are like sin in Romans 7 that was trying to find an occasion to destroy us. And so you can kind of personify sin like these miserable presidents and princes. And whenever Paul wanted to do good, like Daniel, I'm going to do good and I'm going to pray to God and I'm going to prosper because I'm obedient to the will of God, sin rose up to deceive Paul, like these princes rose up to deceive and destroy Daniel and bring him down. They wanted to find an occasion. How many have ever seen that happen in your life? You might have had a problem with your tongue. You might have had a problem with snapping at people when you shouldn't snap at them. And when they snap at you, how many know what you're supposed to do? Snap at them back? No. But that's what we do, don't we? That's what we got to stop doing if we are. That's what he meant by turning the other cheek. And when somebody insults us, what do we feel like doing? I'll insult you worse than you just insulted me. That is what I was talking about. That is the force of sin that's in us. That's what the world's saying. Now, in some things, the world don't want you doing that. You can't kill people and do stuff like that. But in other things, they're letting sin just loose. If you feel like committing perversion, do it. Just do it. It's you. You were born that way. God made you that way. No, he didn't make us with sin. He made us without sin. And we're the ones that got that mess called sin in our lives. And now that we got it in us, even as Christians, that's still a working force in our flesh. And Paul, how many know Paul was filled with the Spirit? How many know Paul was saved? But Paul said, I got to keep my body under. Because something happens when we want to do good and we can't do it. The more we try, if we don't understand, everybody say, if we don't understand the Spirit's power. This is what he's talking about now. This is what he called walking after the flesh. If we try to make ourselves, I got to be a good Christian. I got to be a good Christian. I got to be a good person. I got to stop mouthing off at people when I know I shouldn't. And the harder we try, all of a sudden, boom, it comes out anyway. And did we want to do it? No. But did we end up doing it? Yes. How many experienced that? I did. You did. We all did. We all are very familiar with, there's something inside of us. Now, we might not have understood it exactly like Paul did. Like, Paul was a spiritual genius. God gave him such understanding. He had to have a thorn in his flesh to keep him humble. He had so much revelation. And Paul explained it in such a way that that's this thing forcing its way through, and you don't have the power to stop it. But how many know who does have the power? Power of God's Spirit. Hallelujah. And so that's what Paul was talking about. Now, the princes of Darius deceived that king into making a law. That's how they took occasion by the law. They deceived him to make a law that stopped anybody from praying to any god. And all they had in their minds was Daniel's going to pray to God. And they hate this guy. They got to get him out of the way. They knew Daniel prayed like that. So they made praying to God illegal for 30 days. Now, with some Christians, that wouldn't have been a problem. How many know what I'm talking about in 2018? I talked to one guy, said, I only pray when we take up our offering and we pray over the offering, brother. I only pray when we have a service and we open in prayer. How many know we're supposed to pray every day? Give us this day our monthly bread. If we were praying every month, once a month, that's all the time we prayed. Well, we'd say, but it's daily bread because we're meant to pray every day. So anyhow, Paul said, I'm seeking God's will too. And I'll show you that in a moment. But it became illegal to seek the will of God in the spiritual realm, just like it became illegal in Babylon to seek the will of God in prayer. And just like those presidents and princes sought an occasion by the law of God. Actually, open your Bibles to Romans chapter. You better bring your Bible because you never know when I'm going to get outside of the screen and you need to open it up. Because right now there's a verse I just thought of and I want to make sure we get it. Romans 7. Take me a sec to find it. In verse 1, he talks about you people that are familiar with the law. Now, how many know he's talking about the Old Testament, the covenant, the old law? And then he says, he compares it with a man and a woman. We're so bound by the law of God that it's just like a man and a woman are bound together until death do them part. Somebody say divorce happens. You know, that's kind of away from what God actually wanted. He said, Moses suffered divorce just because of your flesh, but he said that wasn't so from the beginning. You really, it's until you die. So at any rate, if while her husband lives, she's married, so forth and so on. And he says, by the same token, just like a man and woman are bound together, you are bound to a law of God until you die. How many know we died with Christ to the law, right? And then he goes on and says, that bondage was broken. Verse 6, how many are glad we're delivered from the law? Amen? We're delivered from the law. But down further, I'm trying to find this verse. There it is, verse 8. How many have your Bible with you? Say amen. Amen. Read this with me at the same time together. But sin taking occasion by the commandment. Now, isn't that the exact same words in Daniel? They sought an occasion against Daniel. And they said, we shall not find an occasion against him except by what? the law of his God. Just like they sought an occasion to the law of his God, here we find out sin sought an occasion to the law, by the law. And so it became illegal in that sense. So how many know what Paul's trying to say about the law and marriage and all of that? Aren't you glad for grace of God? Praise God. And so look at verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Was it wrong for Daniel to pray to God because it got him in trouble? Is the Ten Commandments, is the Old Testament law wrong because sin takes occasion by it and says, okay, the more you're going to try to live right, the more we're going to strike out and make you fail. Does that make serving God wrong? No. It's just that there's a problem of sin that needs to be dealt with. Just like Daniel had a problem of presidents and princes. And how many know if Daniel was going to be faithful, God was going to take care of those presidents and princes. And how many know if we're faithful, God is going to take care of this problem called sin. And he says, I had not known lust. I had not known sin but by the law. The law is good. Don't ever say the law is wrong. It's good. I wouldn't know, except the law said thou shalt not covet, I wouldn't know what's right or wrong about coveting. But he said, sin, there it is again. Look at verse 8. Say it with me. Sin taking occasion by the commandment. Just the same words, and he said, it wrought in me. It worked inside of me, concupiscence. All kinds of lustful thinking. All kinds of lust. Because he said, without the law, sin was dead. You don't have sin active until, see, sin was inside of all of us since Adam and Eve, right? And all of a sudden, Moses comes along with the law. And the Bible says sin came to life inside of us. And it started saying, you're not going to covet? I'll make you covet. You're not supposed to worship anything other than one God? I'm going to tempt you to worship other gods. And Israel, my, I don't know. I always was boggled in my mind to think how God took Israel out of Egypt. And it showed them the wonders. And then they're bowing down to idols a little while later. And then they're worshiping false gods. That's that force of sin. And he says, so without the law, sin was dead. And I was alive. Can you picture it? Paul's alive, sin's dead. But then when the commandment came, flip-flop. I die, and now sin's alive. And the commandment, which was supposed to make me live, it was ordained to life, I found it was killing me. I remember we were pastoring out east, and a woman took the prayer and fasting. And she said, I'm not going to pray and fast anymore. And somebody asked her, why? Man, every time I pray and fast, the devil goes wild. And I got thinking, well, yeah. He doesn't want you to pray and fast. Of course he's going to kick and scream and fight. But you know why he's kicking and screaming? To make you do just what you're doing right now, to give up. But folks, just because Daniel said, it's against the law for me to pray and I'll be put in a den of lions if I pray, that wasn't going to stop him from praying. God was going to deal with that. And you know, it's coming down to the crunch in these days too, where there's laws that are coming into effect. And somebody asked me when I was down in the States, they said, can't you preach against sin like that anymore in Canada? I said, oh yeah, we can preach it, but we might get in some problems if we run outside and start hollering down the road when the gay parade's going by. Like one guy found out from Calgary that's been accused of hate speech just because he said it's sin and Jesus wants to save. So should this guy shut up now just because it's going to get him in trouble? My God, no. No. We've got to stand. We've got to stand. And how many know God will be with us? It put Daniel through the lion's den, but how many know God was with him? Hallelujah. But notice it's so remarkable. And there it is again in verse 11. Sin taking occasion by the commandment. It's in verse 8. And I think it's in verse 6. Taking occasion by the commandment. Just like these princes and presidents were taking occasion by Daniel's law of God to destroy him. And so it's good to pray, and it's good for Paul to want to obey God's law in Romans chapter 7. But just because sin rose up to destroy him and bring him down didn't mean it's wrong. It's just like me saying, how ridiculous would this be? I preach, you got to turn the other cheek. You got to turn the other cheek. if somebody insults you, you got to just keep your tongue closed. Your tongue, mouth, you know what I mean. And then you try and you try and you try and I can't take it anymore. You miserable so-and-so, you miserable. And it slays you. As far as Paul's terminology was concerned, he called it dying when he failed to serve God. I mean, he doesn't physically stop living. But he said, sin revived and I died. His ticker didn't stop ticking. He just meant, I'm not successfully serving God. I'm dying. Instead of living, I'm dying. And that's what happens to us spiritually speaking. We die when we mess up in sin. But how many know God's a God of the resurrection from the dead? And he'll forgive and will rise again in that sense spiritually. Somebody say spiritually. And it come up to be such a situation with Paul that I'm going to show you in chapter 7. He actually said, this flesh of mine contains sin. And this sin inside of my flesh is working against me. And I'm inside of this flesh too. And he called his body a body of sin, just like Daniel was thrown into a den of lions. He was put inside a container where there were lions, just like we are inside of a container called our body of sin. And the lions are sin, the powers of sin. The presidents and the princes, it's the powers of sin. And they're wanting to kill us. And Paul actually said, who will deliver me from the body of this death? What was the thing I told you to repeat over and over again in Daniel? God, deliver me. And King said, God will deliver you. I tried to deliver you, but God's got to deliver you. And he said, God delivered you. Now I'm going to make everybody honor that God. Hallelujah. And folks, there will be such glory come from our lives when they see us standing strong in a world of darkness and saying no to sin and no to ungodliness and maybe being persecuted for it when God comes through in the end. And then everybody, every knee's going to bow. How many know every knee? Knee's gonna bow like we sang this morning. Hallelujah. One day every knee's gonna be bowed, gonna bow down before God. It might be that in this life they take our lives. They took those apostles' lives. They took people through the centuries because of their stand for God. And it might not be in this life we see every knee bow, but we are going to see that happen before that great throne. Hallelujah. And they're gonna confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Amen. And I'm gonna be with God forever. And they're going to be somewhere where they don't want to be. Oh, let's praise God for all the truth that God wants to give us and see us enjoy victory. You see, inside of that body, it's like he was bound, Paul said, by and surrounded by these hungry lions of sin. And that other damnable law was wanting Paul to be destroyed. Look at Daniel 6 and 5. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against Daniel. Romans chapter 7, 10. The commandment which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. And his efforts to obey God's law caused him to go through the death sentence. There wasn't nothing wrong for God's law for Daniel to pray just because it brought on this persecution. I remember there was a young guy we witnessed to in the reserve in New Brunswick in Fredericton. And man, God filled him with the Spirit, and we baptized him in Jesus' name, and he was serving God. And then one of his buddies started coming to church, and I still see that young guy with his arms raised up, worshiping God, tears in his eyes. And then he'd go back to home to like a den of lions because his family was involved in a denomination that just hated this experience. And he said to me, man, this church is just ruining my life. How many know it wasn't church ruining his life? It was the power of sin and the devil. That's what was happening. And so it made him think, I can't be serving God if this is what's going to happen. I mean, this is how sin can deceive you. That's why Paul said, is the law sin? Is the law, you know, is it wrong to serve the law of God because this stuff happens? No, the law is still good. Amen. Look, for sin, here's what the problem was. Sin just is taking occasion by the... It's not sin that's the... It's not rather law that's the problem. It's not the commandments. It's this sin that's taking opportunity by the commandment. And those princes took that opportunity. So he says in verse 12, so It's not that the law is bad. The law is holy. Somebody say the law is holy. Say the commandment's holy. Say it's just and good. And Daniel's prayer wasn't wrong. Praise God. He followed it, and it's not wrong. So then he says, but was that which is good made death unto me? Did God want me to die by giving me law? I want to kill you, son, because I know sin is going to rise up and destroy you. And then again he says, no, God forbid. That's not what it's about. He said, look at me. He said, but sin, that it might appear sin. Sin needs to be known for the filthy, wicked nature that it really is. And that's why God brought law. And I've got a belief, Brother McLaren, and I think this is scriptural, based on all of this, that you ever wonder why God didn't bring salvation as soon as Adam and Eve sinned and fell and were thrown out of the garden? Why didn't God do it then? Why didn't Jesus come then? Before they even die on that cross and get them back in there. I got a feeling man needed to learn a good lesson. Because if the devil could convince him, don't go to life, go to the knowledge of good and evil. And then the woman thought, I will be like God. I won't need him. I will already know what's good or evil. I won't need him. I'll do this on my own. I'll make myself good. And she was deceived. And so she. And then it's like God came along and said, if I was to come and give you salvation right now, and I was to give you redemption and do the work for you, how many know it's his work, not ours? If I was to do the work for you, and you still got that in your head, then the devil might walk along all over again and say, hey, you could do this on your own. But if I was to make a way where you would have a set of rules that if you could keep every one of them, you could make yourself holy. And does anybody here know that if you obeyed every law without fail in the Old Testament, you'd save yourself? Did you realize that? You could. But how many know there's something in us called sin that stops it? It doesn't let it happen. And so God knew it. And I could prove it. We'll get into this in Bible studies, really dig later. But God says, I know that force is in there, and I know how man thinks. I know how he's deceived. So I'm going to bring a law that's going to make sin appear sin. I'm going to show them just how bad off they are now with that force inside of them. Because not only was the devil able to succeed and tempt them to go to the knowledge of good and evil instead of life, but now it's compounded because we've got sin in our flesh. Somebody say it's worse. We got sin in our flesh now. Now we got another problem to contend with. So God says, I'm going to bring a law, and the more you try to do good, evil's going to rise up. There's something inside of you now, and I recognize it, but you don't see it for what it is like I do. And you need to know that if I was to ever give you salvation freely without your works, that it's the only way you can get it, and you can never save yourself. Your self-righteousness will always be as filthy rags. If I can't convince you of that, you're going to go right back in it. So I'm bringing a law for 1,500 years, Israel, you're going to be made to keep a law that sin inside you isn't going to allow you to keep. So that once you learn this after 1,500 years, 15 centuries, then I bring grace, then I bring the cross, and I have my apostles teach this and teach this and teach this, then you're not going to go back again, and you're going to thank me that I'm the one that saved you and you couldn't save yourself. Ooh, hallelujah. I believe that's why he did this. Because if you read Romans, you always see that sin is made to appear to be as sinful and wicked as it really is because it works death by using something that's good. How miserable. I think of these. I'll be careful with my terminology because of age here. But I think of the kind of criminals we have in this world and perverted minds that'll see young lives and appeal to them with candy and appeal to them with this in order to take their lives and ruin them. How many know what I'm talking about? How wicked can humanity be to take innocent childhood like that and take advantage of them? Like sin uses something good and destroys us. Can you imagine? I mean, you imagine your children hearing about something like that happening to them. Well, God's our Father, and he sees us, his children, being deceived by sin using that which is good. And it boils his spirit. And praise God, folks, sin by the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. Paul's going to really show us that God wants us to see how wicked it is. So you know why? That if we ever have a temptation after God gives us a free gift, after we're saved by His, well, I can't even make myself righteous. I need to be righteous to go to heaven, but He's going to give me His righteousness for me to have it. Because my righteousness are like what? Filthy rags. But what does Revelation say? What does Revelation, I think it's 19, describe in symbolic form? God's righteousness of the saints. White robes as white as snow. Hallelujah. I believe they were glowing and shining light. And all that John could use in his vocabulary was white as snow. That, if our righteousness is filthy rags, and then we look in Revelation that the righteousness of the saints is like robes of white, it's seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The Jews in Romans 10 set out to establish their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness which is of God. Paul said, I don't want to be found in Philippians 3 with my righteousness, which is of the law, but I want His righteousness. Hallelujah. We are given God's own righteousness. Praise God. And so sin is really shown to be sinful when it takes something like a beautiful law of God that He gave to Moses and people try to obey it, and it uses that to tear us up. And so is Daniel's obedience to God intended to kill Daniel? That's what Paul's saying, in effect. Just because I mess up whenever I try to do good? No, God's trying to show us how sinful sin really is. But through Daniel's experience, those princes would be exposed. How many know God exposes sin through our experiences? You get what I'm saying? Bless God, if you're getting what I'm saying, this is what took me years to understand. I mean, years. Like Daniel in the law of God, the law's commandments were not bad simply because they stirred up sin and sentenced Paul to death. Paul even talked about dying, just like Daniel was going to die. But oh, praise God. For I know that in me, here we go. Watch this. This is what the world needs to know. This is why the world's wrong. This is why all these movements are wrong, that God did not create us like those perversions. I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. And here's where there's a will, there's a way, is shown to be false doctrine. For to will is present with me. Somebody say, Paul had the will. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. I don't have the way. Where there's a will, that doesn't mean there's a way. No way. And like Daniel in the lion's den, Paul said, inside him, in my flesh, there's this lion called sin wanting to kill me. And I've been thrown right into the lion's den. So think of Daniel obeying God's law, but everybody say another law. Another law is set up. And watch how Paul talks now. For I delight in the law of God. Somebody say law number one. I delight in the law of God, but I see another law. Now, go to Daniel. Daniel is obeying the law of God, but what did the princes and presidents get the king to make? Another law. See? I see another law in my members. It's in my own body. I'm wanting to obey that law of God, but there's a second law that's clashing, and it's in my own flesh. And it wars against the law of my mind. The law of Paul's mind was the law of God that he had in his head that he willed to do. How many know your will is in your head? And when you will to do it, that means whatever you're willing to do is the law of God that's in your mind, that law. But this law in my flesh is fighting against that law in my mind and bringing me into captivity, just like Daniel was imprisoned. And it's this second law is called the law of sin. See it? The law of sin. Where is it? In my members. In your flesh and in my flesh. In the members of my hands. My bodily members like feet. There is another law. And even after we're saved, it's still there. How many know there's a difference in the spelling of sin and sins? Right? Simple, isn't it? But The Bible talks about sin as a force, whereas sins in Paul's vocabulary is activities that are wrong, wrong acts. And when they wanted to get rid of alcohol back in the days of abolition, see, the world tried now and then, but it gave up. But if you were to take all the bottles off the shelves of every liquor store, we're getting rid of liquor. No one's going to drink anymore. Get rid of all the bottles. What will happen when you walk into that shop the next week? There'd be bottles back on the shelf, right? Well, let's take those bottles, Glenn. Let's get rid of all of them off the shelf. Come back next week. What happens? There's more bottles. How are we going to stop these bottles from getting on the shelves? Are we going to keep on taking them off the shelves? No. What do we have to do? And in the case of a bottle, for the illustration's sake, what do you have to do about the bottles? Go to the factories. Go to the wineries. Go to the breweries. Shut the things down. By the same token, all these sins that we commit are like bottles on the shelf. Like Peter just said, we got to see the heart change. We got to shut down the factory that's producing this junk. And that factory's called sin. And so God starts speaking about sin in Romans chapter 5 in a way Paul didn't talk about it before chapter 5. Chapter 5 is an awesome part of Romans. Everything shifts. He goes deep. And so this other law is the problem. There's a law of God, but he says now there's a law called sin and death. We have to deal with that law. And what did the king, what was that king's law like once he signed it? It's irrevocable, right? You can't change the law. Do you know you can't shut down the law of sin and death? You can't shut it down. It's irrevocable. You can't shut it down. What does Romans 8 say is the answer? Somebody say there's a third law. Watch this. Now, I showed you two laws, right? Romans 7, there's the law of God that Paul wanted to keep. But then there's another law in his flesh that's miserable. Well, Romans chapter 8 says there's a third one. Watch this. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost just getting ready to read it. I feel the Holy Ghost looking for the verse in my Bible here, just a second. Verse, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. So get this clearly. There's a law of God Paul's wanting to obey, and he can't do it because there's another law called sin and death that's destroying him. So then Paul says, what do I do? What do I do? And by the way, look at verse 24 of Romans 7. Oh man, you got to see this. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall what? Deliver me from what? The body of this death. Who's going to get me out of this den of lions? He's calling his body a den of lions here. The body of this death. Who does he thank in verse 25 for delivering him? Man, I feel, hurry up. The Holy Ghost is going to make me bust here. I thank who? Say it again. I thank who? I thank God. And what does verse 25 say is the means by which God is going to deliver him? Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. How many know that the law in Romans 7, remember I told you a little while earlier? Like a man and a woman being married. The law is over a man for a certain length of time. For as long as what? He lives. And after he says, you're bound to the law as long as you live. But if you are dead to the law, if you die, you're freed from the law. Amen. And so we aren't going to get out of this law until we die. But guess what? Through Jesus Christ on the cross, I died. I died. I died. Through death, I got free. And Romans 6 and 7 says the same thing. He that is dead is freed from sin. Hallelujah. And so we died to the law by the body of Christ. That's what it says earlier in chapter 7. By the body. What's that mean? We died by the body. Well, when his body died, folks, it counted as ours. That was our deaths. That's why we get baptized into his death, so that it now counts as ours. So now I can say, sin and death, I'm dead to you. I'm free. Hallelujah. And not only that, we're even free from the law of God, the law of Moses. And now we got a new law, the law of the Spirit of life. So let me explain this as we close. Man, I'd like to go 5 more hours here this morning, but I can't. Thank God for other services. But watch this. This is my bread and butter. This is it to me. He says, let me explain it like this. There's the law of gravity. And the law of gravity says, if I was to lift you up with all my muscles about 10 feet up in the air and let you go, you're going down because of the law of gravity, right? You're not going to be suspended in midair if I let you go, because the law of gravity brings you down. That's like the law of sin and death. It brings you down. So how come I can see those silver winged vehicles up in the air? Nothing holding them up, and they're not dropping. Because there's another law. Does anybody know what they call that law? The law of aerodynamics. Did you just say that? You told them to say that, did you? The law of aerodynamics is, if the wings are kind of like in a teardrop shape and a crosscut, and then the wind is blowing under them, that'll keep that thing up in the air. So they're not destroying. Okay, every time we send a plane up, there's no law of gravity on Earth. No, the law of gravity is still there. It's just that the law of aerodynamics sets them free from the law of gravity. By the same token, you can't reverse the law of sin and death. But the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. Hallelujah. And so as long as I live by the law of aerodynamics, I won't fall to the ground. As long as I live by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, sin can't bring me down. You can't revoke it, but you can overcome it. You can overcome it. Hallelujah. And when the king said, now I'm making a new law, everybody's going to worship the God of Daniel. And a new law came into effect. Somebody say, thank God for the new law. Woo! Hell, let's all stand right now as Lindsay comes back to the music. Praise God. The law of the Spirit. He had 3 laws here. The law of God that Daniel tried to keep, that Paul tried to keep. But then the law of the Medes came into effect to destroy him. Just like the law of sin and death takes occasion by the commandment. But then, bless God, the law of the Spirit of life set him free from that sin and death. Oh, hallelujah, God. Somebody say, we've got a greater law. Got a greater law. And remember I told you a few minutes ago, what other Bible story had a law you couldn't reverse? And it was Esther. And some of you might remember me preaching this. But Esther found another law to obey to. Because the king said, I can't reverse this law that all you Jews are going to die. Notice it's always about death. Daniel's going to die. Esther and the Jews are going to die. Adar the 13th, sounds like a bad movie name, was going to be the day the Jews would be killed by the Syrians. I guess it was Persians. And so king says, here's what you can do, and you can start playing here now. Make it really nice while I'm talking. Set the mood here. You can write another law too, Esther. See this signet? See this king's ring? I can seal it and it can't be reversed. I can't reverse the other one. That day's going to come. But I can have you use my name. How many know there's power in the name of Jesus? Use my name and speak. And it can't be reversed, because church, that name of Jesus is like a seal, hallelujah, that makes it irrevocable. And when you speak that name in Jesus' name, and he said, here's what you do. Every Jew, you send them a letter, and here it's sealed with my ring. You tell them they can fight for themselves. And praise God, church, I can fight in the power of God's Holy Ghost power, hallelujah, and overcome. And that's what I was trying. That's not me. That's what Paul was trying to say when he said, don't let sin rule in your mortal flesh. Let the Spirit quicken your mortal flesh. That's what he was talking about. And that's what Paul said. It's not for those who walk after the flesh. They're not depending on the Spirit of God. But you people who walk after the Spirit,
that law of the Spirit will quicken you and set you free from the law of sin and death. And bless God, we're going to see Canada, the Prime Minister, every knee's going to bow one day. And the law of God will have every knee go down before our Jesus Christ. And so right now, before that day comes, let's stand by the power of the Holy Ghost. How many know what I'm talking about? If you don't have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, are you seeking it? Are you praying? Take steps of faith with you, pray. You can get it right now. Just worship God and praise Him. Hallelujah. Stop being afraid to lift your hands up. Stop being afraid to raise your voice and let the Holy Ghost speak out of you. And He's going to speak new creation life. And He gives us the opportunity, just like He said, let there be light. Let there be this. When you speak in tongues and become a new creation, God is actually using your tongue and saying, let there be life, let there be this, and it's coming out of your mouth. And that's how you know you're filled with the Spirit. Hallelujah. So as we sing and as we worship, let's thank God for delivering us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Go ahead, sing. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's praise Him, folks.
Hallelujah.
Freedom from the law of sin and death. Thank you, Jesus.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Lift your eyes to heaven.
Freedom.
There is freedom.
Oh, come on, Daniel, lift your eyes up. Paul, you.
Lift your eyes to heaven.
Let's lift our eyes up. Thank you, Jesus.
There is freedom.
Oh, hallelujah.
Freedom reigns in this place.
Sin doesn't reign. Freedom reigns.
Showers of mercy and grace.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Falling on every face. There is freedom. Jesus reigns.
Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus reigns in this place.
Yes, God.
Showers of mercy.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Falling on every face, there is freedom.
Hallelujah. You know, I just want to pause here. Lindsay, you have changed so much in the months, years that you've been here. And just that song, I couldn't think of a better song. After we read the Spirit of the Lord, Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that made me free. She sings, freedom reigns in this. After I say, don't let sin rule in your mortal body, but let your spirit, and she's like, Jesus reigns. And I remember, and she knows what I'm talking about. There's kind of, she even told us, you know, there's stiffness, there's a stoicness from, there's a cult God delivered her out of, and cold religion. Look at the difference. That's what the Spirit does. That's what the Spirit does. And the more Lindsay and all of us keep feeling after Him and looking out there. I saw a picture of Daniel. How many saw that painting? It shows Daniel kneeling by a rock in the lion's den and a beam of light coming down and lions just standing and looking at him. That's all sin can do. When you call on the name of the Lord, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus works. Hallelujah. But because it's called a law, that means you have to understand how it works to see it benefit you. And the way this law works is you have to believe. Somebody say, I can't, but He can. With man, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. How many know He can quicken this mortal body? That's it. As we sing it again, let's thank God and praise Him and let Him know we're going to seek and follow after Your Spirit, Lord. Sing it again, sister. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. We seek after You, God. We seek after You, Lord. I want to walk after Your Spirit, God. I want to be led by Your Spirit, not walking after my flesh, not trying this in my own power. Oh, Jesus.
If you're tired and thirsty.
Oh, hallelujah.
There is freedom.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
Give your all to Jesus. Jesus, there is freedom.
People, I would say to you, the Lord thy God would speak. My kingdom's law is the law of the Spirit of life. I ask you, I urge you, I speak and teach you to seek my kingdom, to pray my kingdom come, for my law of the Spirit of life to activate and work in this world where you live. That my will in heaven be done in this earth where you walk among lions. And I am your King of Kings. I am your Lord of Lords. And if you live by my law, the Spirit of life, I will come down into every den of lions the enemy would fool you into. I would come down and give you victory. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. No enemy will be able to succeed above you if you walk after my Spirit. This is what my kingdom is all about. Coming into this earth, my kingdom went down into Babylon, into the den of lions, and burst out and overtook the whole empire, like my power of resurrection and life burst into that tomb and exploded in the whole world, and my kingdom is spreading across the earth like the waters cover the sea. My people, let my will be done in your midst, and I will raise you up and bless you mightily, says your God. Hallelujah! Oh, let's praise him, let's praise him, let's praise him. Sing it, Lindsay. Hallelujah! Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Showers of mercy and grace falling on every face. There is freedom.
Oh, thank you.
Jesus reigns.